And the 0-2 on the way. Tovar, strike three, call. Breaking ball got him. Ben Brown strikes out Tovar.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Beautiful Saturday morning in the city of Chicago. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. And now it is our pleasure to bring in a young man who made his major league debut down in Texas. It's been quite a whirlwind week for Ben Brown, the Cubs rookie right-hander, and he joins us now on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you for joining us. I know it's early. You got a game today. How would you describe the past week, which if you go back only 7-8 days, you were not with the Chicago Cubs. You were in Iowa. You're ready to start your season that way, and you get a call, and here you are, two appearances later. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm feeling like the first couple of days were definitely a little bit of a whirlwind, and the travel and the logistics of everything. But being able to settle down, especially once we got home, and just enjoy it a little bit, has been great. It's been a blast. I mean, I'm enjoying every bit of it, but being able to really just slow down and enjoy time with teammates and family and experience some games at Wrigley Field has been such a blast.
Ben, thanks for taking some time out this morning. And I want to go back to yesterday when I talked to David Bush about being a Chicago Cub and hitting that big home run against his former team yesterday. And he downplayed it by saying, hey, look, I'm a Cub. When I came over here, I not only changed teams, but they embraced me. I feel like I've been here a long time now. That's in the past. What was your experience like two summers ago being traded here for David Robertson? And how do you look at the change of organization and feeling a part of something?
Yeah, I mean, with the Phillies, I was pretty irrelevant for a long time. So getting traded over and just feeling the love from the Cubs fan base and front office and coordinators and coaches right off the bat, right off the get-go, is something I didn't really experience that much with Philadelphia. Not to anyone's fault, but I wasn't really healthy with them for a really long time and only really had half of the season to show myself with the Phillies. So getting that right away with the Cubs and the attention and the love and care for me and my family, especially at Cubs cons and whatnot, it was awesome. It was super, super sweet.
All right, Ben, so it's Wednesday night and Wrigley Field, it's about 35 degrees. It's even colder with the wind and the elements, probably somewhere in the 20s in a feel-like temperature. You take the mound in the second inning. You take the mound. Yep. I know you're a big guy, 6'6", 210. You're a young guy. You probably don't care about how cold it is, but you take the mound in shirt sleeves without a long sleeve underneath. I loved it because I think that it showed how mentally tough you were ready to be. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it. What was your thought process, and why did you take the field wearing so little?
Yeah, ever since I had Tommy John, I do not like to have stuff on my arm or on my body. It just feels weird. If you ever watch me play catch, I'll bundle up a little bit to try to get more comfortable with wearing sleeves and layers and whatnot, but I don't like really having stuff on my arm, sleeve-wise, unless it's an arm sleeve in between starts or something. But I'm very, very weird like that. So I don't know if it was as much as me being a macho man, but as much as me just being quirky and weird and not liking to wear long sleeves.
Were you cold? Could you tell? Did it affect you?
No. I mean, luckily the innings were pretty quick, and the dugout's very warm, and, you know, the bullpen's kind of tucked away, so there wasn't really too many moments where I was thinking to myself that I was pretty freezing.
So you got nailed a little bit on a breaking ball in Texas that kind of ruined your first outing with the Cubs. But when I first talked to you at CubsCon and then in spring training, I was pleasantly surprised to find how confident a guy you are, because when I talked to you, the first thing you said was, hey, I'm a major league pitcher right now. I can pitch for any of the 30 teams. I'm ready to go. Where does that come from? Is it confidence rather than cockiness? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I think in 2023, last year, I really struggled with confidence and kind of knowing myself and knowing where I belong. I think there's a level of, you have to have definitely a lot of humility. Listening is super hard. But when you are throwing the ball well, when you do know yourself, you do know that you can perform, and you need to have that when you go into a game, especially when, you're in Texas and there's 47,000 people there or whatever the number was. It's something crazy. I do believe I can be a big league pitcher for a while, and I do believe I belong here. But at the same time, I do understand that there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of adjustments and a lot of learning experiences I'm going to have to go through in order to become that person that I do believe I can be one day and do believe I am now. And it's game-to-game adjustments, it's inning-to-inning, pitch-to-pitch. And it doesn't mean that the work is finished, but it just means that, there's still a lot to do. But I do think with my arsenal and my stuff I do have, I can be here for a while. I know obviously there's a lot of changes within the roster moves in the season, but I do believe I can pitch in the big leagues and get out. So
how does a young man, 24 years old, with the kind of confidence we just heard, with the kind of stuff that we know you have, you look at this season, and even Jed Hoyer, he's the boss. He said before the home opener in regard to your role, well, it's kind of uncertain. It's kind of unclear. How do you prepare for that kind of uncertainty, knowing you can excel here, knowing that you should be here, but not knowing what to expect next?
Yeah, I think just own your routine. I mean, baseball is a crazy game. You can get, whatever the case is, obviously I have options left, and guys can go up and down, and, that's going to be part of it. That's going to be, not like I should go into every outing fearful for that, but that's part of what can happen this year, and really locking down my routine that I can control what I need to control, whether I'm in Iowa, Chicago, San Diego, on a road series, whatever the case is that I gotta dominate what I can control every single day, and not really worry too much about those decisions that are kind of above, out of my control. And that's going to be really important for me and my development for sure.
So you talk about the humility, but at the same time, people maybe for the first time since you were pitching in Little League and coming up make a big deal out of you. You're a star player in hoping to be a star player on one of the most important franchises in baseball history in one of the great cities. Where have those aha moments come for you initially about, hey, this is really cool. I'm a big league pitcher with the Chicago Cubs. I better really enjoy all of this.
Yeah. I think when you can kind of take a step back and look at the journey that you went on and came through and the implications of becoming a big leaguer and what that means for your life moving forward in a good way. No one can take that away from you, that you made a debut, that you became a big leaguer. And when you're kind of living in the moment we are right now, it's such a, things can definitely speed up on you a little bit, but when you can sit back and just really kind of, I wouldn't say you're resting in that, but understanding that, and there's a lot of joy there, and, there's a lot of joy for me and my family being able to experience this moment together, and yeah.
So, Ben, as I was enjoying watching you the other night in your shirt sleeves, in your short sleeves, I was amused by the report that Taylor McGregor had about, help me fill in the gaps here, a pet rabbit that meant something to you. I wanted to have you explain and expand on that because it was a nice little sidelight, and yet I think the focus was on the game, but Taylor does a great job of getting these little nuggets. What is it about the pet rabbit that we need to know?
Yeah, our little Nani, she passed away in January, unfortunately. Really sad stuff, but she was my best friend, my wife, while we were dating at the time. She texted me that, hey, I'm going to pick up this rabbit. She was on a Facebook chat, and they weren't able to take care of her anymore. And at the time, I thought my wife was crazy. And then before you know it, I fell in love with the little bunny rabbit. So I'm definitely a big, me and my wife are big animal people. We got two dogs and we had our bunny. We're just, we kind of like to just hang out with the animals and hang out with each other. We don't really do too much outside of the house, but those are definitely two of our favorite things. So our animals, for sure.
You are, in closing, David and I really appreciate your time today. This is fun. When you're a joyful person, when people come by your locker, when I come by, you are, happy to talk to us. You always have a smile on your face. But what's the Christopher Morel thing every day like to be around a guy that embraces everybody, has fun with everybody, loves everybody, and it's genuine?
Yeah, he's it is genuine too. He's the same way all the time. He's awesome. Number one, he's just an amazing teammate, and what you guys see on the outside is exactly what he does in the locker room. And he's such a good dude and such a great teammate, and he's always made me feel so loved, even as a minor leaguer in camp or when we spent some time together at AAA last year. He's so intentional about caring for others, and he's going to be he already is an unbelievable player, and he works so hard, and what he brings to the table is just, I've never seen anything like it before, honestly. He's just super talented, and I'm just blessed that I get the opportunity to play with him and kind of watch his career develop a little bit over the last year, but it's really cool. It's really encouraging to see people that are bringing so much joy into the world and light into the world, and he's one of those guys for sure.
Ben, I hope you have a great year. Much success and good luck to you. I love your approach. Keep it up, and really appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Ben Brown, young Cubs right-hander. Prospect, but he has arrived. He is in Chicago. I said the other morning, Bruce, I said, Ben Brown has arrived. And I got a lot of grief over saying that, what it implied. I really meant that he's here to help. And I think that if he continues to pitch like he did on Wednesday night, we can say, oh, yeah, he has arrived. It's going to take a little while, though, but he is somebody that you think has a very bright future.
You said the right word, David. Pitched, okay, not throw. And the difference between his outing in Texas as opposed to the one here this week against Colorado was he was able to command his other pitches. Every major league pitcher can hit 97. This guy has legitimate major league heat, but to be able to be able to get his breaking ball over, not hang it, have confidence in it. You heard a little bit about that from him in the interview, David. Again, he's not Tom Seaver quite yet, but to see a young pitcher in the organization come through that throws hard for the Chicago Cubs. There's another one by the name of Cade Horton, not too far away. These guys potentially are the future of the rotation, not just next year, but this year. There's a good possibility these guys are going to be important rotation pitchers as this year goes on.
Bruce, I love the transparency of this show, so I know you'll be honest with me. Which question made you bristle more, the one about the short sleeves without the undershirt or the one about the pet rabbit?
Well, the pet rabbit was more fun.
Okay. Come on. It was on TV. Taylor addressed it. I went there, too. I wanted to know more about Nanny. I couldn't remember Nanny's name.
Well, you didn't go as far as asking about a lucky rabbit's foot. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm glad you didn't go there. All right.
Yeah, I would not want to be disrespectful in that way.
But Bruce, that might be disrespectful if you went there, but you didn't.
In all seriousness, when you saw him take the mound, it was a terrible night weather-wise, and it did cross my mind that if this is a young pitcher with all kinds of heat and all kinds of nasty stuff, and we know about his confidence, we heard the clip from spring training, we still can remember how he said, I'm a big league pitcher. I just think that, I likened it to football. You see an offensive lineman take the field in shirt sleeves on a day where the wind chills are sub-zero, and you think, okay, he means business. He's here to work. He's not messing around. And I like that because he's a guy in his second appearance who might have been withering with the elements and dressed like he's preparing for the Iditarod. And no, he's like, all right, I'm here and I'm going to strike you out.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I think it's a greater story the way you do it, and you're such a good writer and person to come up with these things. I think it's more, hey, he had Tommy John. Sleeves don't feel comfortable on the area that was operated on. I'm going to try to.
You're killing my buzz, man.
I know. Well, that's what I do best, right? I mean, I think it's just more. I mean, he talked about, you know, in pregame warmups, he tries to wear things and to get more comfort. He's a human being. He's freezing his butt off. Okay?
Probably
let's
so.
Let's not kid ourselves. But to be able to concentrate and get the job done, knowing that you're freezing, yeah, that's impressive.
So it's interesting, too, because Jed was very honest about how it's unclear what the path would be for Ben Brown this summer, this season. And, Bruce, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of things we don't know. When, number one, is Justin Steele coming back? When, number two, is Jameson Taillon going to join the rotation? He's got a rehab start this weekend. And then, frankly, what do you think about Kyle Hendricks, Bruce? What is reasonable to expect from him?
Look, this is a game of not yesterday, but today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone loves Kyle Hendricks. Everybody wants him to do well. Nobody prepares more than Kyle Hendricks. But at almost 35, you know, what is to be expected? What are proper expectations from him? Is he a five and fly guy now? Yesterday, the defense didn't do him any favors early. Where runs came in, but he ran out of pitches by the fifth inning. He was out of gas. Second time, okay. You have to have people making plays behind you. Kyle Hendricks isn't done, but, you know, what are the real expectations? It's a very fair question, David, that you bring up, and that's why I say when you talk about Ben Brown, when you talk about Cade Horton, okay, when you talk about Wisniewski in the minor leagues, you know, how much will we be seeing these guys as regular parts of the rotation as a long season goes on?
Jack also has the same question, and Jack joins us now, 312-644-6767. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning. You stole my thunder, but I don't know why you're saying that he's not done. He did the same thing last year. He would give up 5-6 runs. Nobody ever takes him out because he's been around a long time. He's a nice guy and all of that. He's throwing batting practice up there. So how do you know he's not done?
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the phone call.
Bruce, I did a little research. Mm-hmm. You know, my friend Jeff Vukovich and I talk baseball almost every night. And he said, he's a big defender, saying that Kyle still has plenty left. And then we went back and we saw last year that he went 6 innings or more 11 times. Okay, that's an indication to the Cubs that he wasn't done.
Right.
Okay, they picked up his option, which they didn't have to do. Okay, he did not get the extension, which was talked about and reported by people like myself that there was hope that was going to get done. That didn't happen. So, you know, Kyle Hendricks is back to 2014. Show me who you are. Show me what you can do. If you want to stay in the rotation, he knows it better than anyone else. He's not going to ask for any favors just because he's been a great pitcher for the Cubs for almost the last 10 years.
And that counts for something. The intangibles just still do matter. He's a great guy to have in that rotation for how many young pitchers you have joining it. And it's competition is a good thing. So is depth. And I think the Cubs have both.
Caller is right, though. You have to be able to go out there and prove it. In this day and age, it's a little bit easier for a pitcher that's on the downside of his career that still is savvy enough to pitch, like Kyle, because 5 is good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't quite gotten there yet. Pitch count and defense has been in the way a little bit. I refuse to bet against Kyle Hendricks. I think you're going to get everything he has, and we'll soon know what that is.
I am with you on that, Bruce, and I think it's an interesting topic that will deserve a lot of attention moving forward because of the young depth in the Cubs minor league system as well. When we come back, we're going to play a little chin music, and it's going to revolve around Shohei Ohtani, who homered yesterday. I wonder, who came up with that ball? Anyone get the Ohtani home run ball at Wrigley? What is it worth? And what did the Cubs security, they treat that person better than the Dodgers security treated that other woman the other night? A lot going on with Ohtani. We'll talk about it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
High and inside.
Time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Well, you get a lot of questions about him. He doesn't really talk to the media. As another baseball player, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, everybody's entitled to their own way, but does that put more on you guys?
And someone in Shohei's position, I feel like, you know, I understand, like, media, you all have a job to do. We have a job to do. What I'm getting at is, like, this is the perfect opportunity for everyone to get their clicks up, get their streams up, right? And that's great. You know, everyone, you know, deserves that opportunity, but we still have a job to do here. And I think, to me, like, that's what it shows really who he is. Like, he wants to get his job done. That's first. And, you know, when it's time for him to speak, he will speak. And he hasn't shied away from that, in my opinion.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Playing a little chin music there, Bruce. Good question to Jason Hayward. Good guy to go to in the Dodger clubhouse. A guy who doesn't hide from the media. A guy who does believe in accountability and understands the value of respecting the job that the reporters and the media has to do and is the conduit between them and the fans. What was your takeaway? Because we're talking about this. Shohei Ohtani is not regularly available at a time where he probably should be, especially in the latest controversy we'll get to in a moment. But what was your reaction to what you heard from your guy, Jason Hayward?
Well, I left out the part where I asked Jason for a $4.5 million loan as well. But I think, you know, as you said, I think Jason is the perfect guy to be able to go to in the Dodger clubhouse because he is so honest and he is so insightful about giving a player's perspective of why it would be acceptable for the face of Major League Baseball, the Michael Jordan of the sport right now, to not talk to the media. And this was a thing that was accepted for 6 years with the Angels by the media and by Major League Baseball and everyone else. And I'm the first guy, David, to say, you know, you have your amendment rights in this country, whether you want to talk or not. There's been Steve Carlton's, George Hendricks, Eddie Murray's that have not talked to the media, baseball media over the years and had wonderful, successful careers and, you know, went on to, in the two of those cases, the Hall of Fame. But as far as marketing goes and the need for the sport, somebody at Major League Baseball needs to step up and talk to this guy about how essential it is for him to communicate. He doesn't have to, you know, have great insight every time out. But if you're the face of a sport, you have to have some conduit between you and the fan base.
To be clear, this has been an issue throughout Ohtani's career. To be honest, this is an issue this week because, number one, he is a subject of a major league investigation into gambling, which you alluded to, $4.5 million. And that began before the season, the day the season began back in March 20th. But this week specifically, I kidded about the home run ball, his first as a Dodger at Dodger Stadium. The fan who caught it was cornered by Dodger security and mistreated by her estimation. And Ohtani said through his interpreter, his new interpreter, that he spoke to the woman and to the fan, but he never did. So the fact that there was this misrepresentation in the eyes of some of the truth created this need to hear from him or at least address it more directly. And now you have two situations where his credibility is under scrutiny for good reason, because you wonder if he's fibbing about one thing, is he fibbing about another, and where is the truth? And is it somewhere in the middle, or is everything lost in translation?
Look, Michael Jordan had his bumps in the road here as the iconic superstar of Chicago and the world during his salad days. There's no question about it. What helped Michael a lot was that every day, every game, after a game, he would talk to every media member, and sometimes it was a group of 40, until they were done asking questions. So do I say that athletes must talk to the media to be able to communicate with fans? No, that's too self-serving for me. What I do say is, if Ohtani would like a better way, knowing that he is under scrutiny all the time, do the easy thing. Talk to the media before games, after games. Don't make it into an issue. Make yourself more likable. You know, this is just, it's just common advice. Michael Jordan made his life so much easier because he gave everybody what they wanted 15 minutes after every game to talk about anything that you wanted to ask him.
Bruce, you were in the Dodger clubhouse clearly talking to Jason Hayward. I just wondered, did you get a sense talking to people around the team, maybe people who cover the team, how big of a distraction this has been? The Dodgers came in 7-2. They lose yesterday. They're still 7-3, among the best teams in baseball. But this is still an enormous story, the biggest one probably facing MLB this season, when you have the most visible best player in the midst of this gambling investigation. And his story doesn't pass the smell test. And his credibility now is being questioned again after the silly incident, not silly, but the incident with the home run ball and him saying that he talked to a fan when that never happened. So what effect has this had on the other players, and how big of a distraction have you sensed it has been?
I think zero, and it starts with Andrew Friedman, the head of baseball operations for the Dodgers, and then you go through the manager and the coaching staff and the great pros like Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, accomplished people, great communicators as well. There are plenty of superstars to talk to on the Dodgers than Ohtani. And maybe that was part of Ohtani's plan, is that I'm going somewhere where I can just concentrate. You know, Jason Hayward went on to talk about the preparation, which is so off the chart for Ohtani, and how he concentrates, and how when he's both a pitcher and a catcher, his entire day is dedicated to just preparing, and how impressed he is by all that. Nonetheless, having a great Dodger organization, an outstanding manager, a coaching staff, and great players around him makes this easy for Ohtani. Ohtani, again, can make his life easier by just doing the common thing. Nobody's expecting anything sensational out of you. Just, you know, talk a little bit about what's going on, you know, have a 2 days a week where you talk to the media.
How about yesterday? Did he talk after the game? He did not, right?
Right.
So, Ohtani, or Shohei, we're on first-name basis. How in the world did you hit that home run with one hand? Did you see that swing, Bruce? The follow-through. It's amazing that he got that out of the park. I would like to hear him address that immediately
People
because it's crazy.
People want to know. People in this era need to know. They deserve to know. But he does retain his right to be who he is, and in his mind, I'm sure it's part of his success, the preparation and the no distraction from talking to people. I support that. And at the same time, I really, you know, push him to open up to just doing the common thing.
Yeah, that would not be that hard. You make some good points in that. Today at Wrigley Field, we're going to see another highly paid player from the Japanese League who came over and is off to an 0-1 start, but Yoshinobu Yakamoto, big contract, faces the Cubs. Jordan Wicks on the mound, starting for making his second start of the season for the Cubs. And that series continues at Wrigley with pregame at 2:30 with Zach Zaidman. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will call the first pitch at 3:05. And you can listen to every Cub game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. What are your expectations for Jordan Wicks today, Bruce?
I'd say five plus. Get them to the the sixth inning, you know, with a couple outs, just throw that change up, keep those Dodger hitters off balance. Man, they are a load. Boy, oh boy, what a lineup. What an approach they have. Yesterday's game, David, was so much fun because both teams had great approaches to teams that are considered pretty good pitching staffs. And it was just, you know, fun from the first batter all the way through sitting in the stands waiting to go down on the field.
A couple of items, breaking news related, Bruce, and breaking news on the score is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. The Cleveland Guardians announced that Shane Bieber, the right-hander, is out for the season with Tommy John surgery. We'll talk about that in a moment as it pertains to that race. And non-baseball news, but really good for this Chicago sports fans in this area, Doug Collins. I'm a big fan of Doug Collins. He's an excellent ambassador for basketball. He has been selected to the Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2024 out in Phoenix. They had made that announcement, and terrific for Doug. Obviously, his son Chris, the coach at Northwestern, and Doug, the former coach of the Bulls. Good things happen to good people, and very happy for Doug Collins. So two bits of breaking news there, Bruce. Shane Bieber, that's going to hurt the Guardians, and the Tigers are in first place. Tigers look legit. What do you think that does to that race?
Well, the Tigers have been getting good pitching, and so have the Guardians, okay? No one should be surprised by this. They have fortified it. Scott Harris has gone out and done a terrific job as the general manager there, fortifying what was coming in that organization when Al Avila was the general manager, and getting some of these people signed and starting to develop. Scott Harris, terrific baseball guy. You and I both picked the Tigers to win that division, I believe.
I know, so far.
Only because our producer, Robbie Trino, is from Michigan and bleeds Tiger blue. So from that perspective. But, again, Cleveland, without Tito Francona as manager, people wondered if they would be viable. But the general manager there, the front office, do a terrific job of developing pitching. That is why when I talk about the White Sox, I think that they can be Cleveland-like by continuing to go after getting more young pitching and continuing in that track.
Bruce,
Cleveland's always, they're always competitive, and everybody looks by them every single year.
We got to take a break, but let me tell you about Bandwagon Robbie here. Robbie Triano's got a Cub hat on, headed to Wrigley Field as soon as he's done producing Steve Rosenblum's show. And I haven't heard him mention the Tigers all more. He's all Cub now. He's a Cub guy living in Chicago.
I'm a company man.
He's a company guy. So
I think if you look in his left pocket, there's a Tony the Tiger sitting there somewhere.
And we have Jason Benetti on the call. Life is good.
Oh, wow. That's a little.
That's some chin music for sure.
That's chin music next week. All right, we come back, Bruce. I want to talk to you about the Craig Council effect of the first week of the season, what you see that has happened, and what you anticipate coming next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Before wrapping things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce, I wanted to get your sense of your first week covering Craig Council as a manager of the Cubs. I like the way he's used the entire roster. I like the way he got every reliever in the bullpen involved. I even like the way that he used Christopher Morel at third base. High risk, maybe. High reward if it works. So curious what you thought the biggest what stood out, if anything, about Craig Council's first week as a Cub manager?
Just his steadiness and, you always feel, and this is not a knock on David Ross, who I think still has a great baseball career ahead of him as a manager, but just that he doesn't let things get out of proportion, okay? He knows negative things are going to happen. He knows there'll be injuries. He knows there'll be failures. He doesn't act shocked or surprised when these things happen. He's been there and done it before. And even though he's wearing Cub colors rather than Brewer colors, he's the same guy. a very competent baseball man who never makes it about him, okay? I think that's really important. And I think that's one of the reasons for his success is that he is confident in his baseball knowledge. He is encompassing in including front office, metrics people, coaches, players, and what's happening on a daily basis. And he doesn't make it anything sensational. He's good at his job. That's the way I would put it.
I think Jed Hoyer talking about the loss of Justin Steele, and Jed met the media before opening day on Monday at Wrigley Field, and he talked about being a flatliner. And it wasn't that Craig Counsell, he certainly doesn't lack emotion or intensity or any of those things. I just think he keeps it under the surface. He maintains his composure, and he is a flatliner because I think he's always thinking ahead. And you see that, the way that he uses Madrigal as a defensive replacement, you see that in the way that he has using his roster. And I think you'll continue to see that. It just feels like there's an advantage the Cubs have, or they feel like they, if there's going to be something that goes wrong, it's not going to be because of a managerial misstep. It just creates that confidence, which is so important when you go into a season with a team with as much talent as the Cubs have.
Look, he's never going to be Gilbert Gottfried at a party. That's not going to happen, okay? But I can tell you there is a fun, a little bit of devilish fun personality in this guy. He's not going to show that hand very often, because he keeps it straight and narrow. But he's a fun guy, and he will show that over a period of time here. He said yes 2 days ago. I asked him, is this a big series, coming up? And he goes, Bruce, they're all big series, So, he was downplaying the idea that this could be a big series in April against the Dodgers because it's the Dodgers. Can it be a litmus test for where his team's at, even though it's April? And he said, yeah, you want to play with them. But again, the next series after this on a road trip, that's going to be our next real big series.
So, what he expected from Shota tomorrow on Sunday in the series finale at Wrigley, his second start at the friendly confines. We saw what happened on Monday. He owned it. He was a performer. And it was a great show, if you will.
Which way is the wind blowing? Tell me the weather conditions, and I will give you an answer, okay? That's my Wrigley Field answer for a fly ball pitcher.
Excuse me.
Pitching against the Dodgers with one of the great lineups in history, okay? If he's a fly ball pitcher and the wind's blowing in 15, he's going to be a much better variety of himself. If it's blowing out, mistakes are going to happen. He could give up 3 homers. I don't think he's going to get shaken no matter what the experience is.
First week impressions Michael Bush, Bruce. First week of a guy who...
Yeah, like him. Look, yeah. The team's winning, okay? So everything is washed away when the team wins, right? They've won all their games at home. It's just that way. Before we're done here, David, I just want to give a shout out to Mary Hellman and the family of Tom Hellman, the longtime clubhouse man and friend of mine for the Cubs for 45 years in Chicago, passed away this winter. They're having a special day for him here, for him and his family. His kids are going to throw out the first pitch. They are going to have a tribute to him before the game, and I just wanted to send my very best to Tom's family and all the friends, hundreds of friends that Tom had in baseball throughout his illustrious career.
Great gesture by the Cubs. Condolences to his family, and great move by you, Bruce, including that. And thank you for also getting our guest today, the great Steve Stone, and, of course, my new favorite pitcher on the Cubs, Ben Brown. Thank you very much, Bruce, and thanks for your contributions. We didn't argue too much today, but we still had a lot of fun.
People can follow me at Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine, on our website, 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox. David, have a great week. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series.
Me too. Steve Rosenblum is next. Mullenhall, Monday morning, 5:30. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Before wrapping things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce, I wanted to get your sense of your first week covering Craig Counsell as a manager of the Cubs. I like the way he's used the entire roster. I like the way he got every reliever in the bullpen involved. I even like the way that he uses Christopher Morel at third base. High risk, maybe. High reward if it works. So curious what you thought the biggest input, what stood out, if anything, about Craig Counsell's first week as a Cub manager?
Just his steadiness and, you'll always feel, and this is not a knock on David Ross, who I think still has a great baseball career ahead of him as a manager, but just that he doesn't let things get out of proportion, okay? He knows negative things are going to happen. He knows there'll be injuries. He knows there'll be failures. He doesn't act shocked or surprised when these things happen. He's been there and done it before. And even though he's wearing Cub colors rather than Brewer colors, he's the same guy, a very competent baseball man who never makes it about him, okay? I think that's really important. And I think that's one of the reasons for his success is that he is confident in his baseball knowledge. He is encompassing in including front office, metrics people, coaches, players, and what's happening on a daily basis. And he doesn't make it anything sensational. He's good at his job. That's the way I would put it.
I think Jed Hoyer talking about the loss of Justin Steele, and Jed met the media before opening day on Monday at Wrigley Field, and he talked about being a flatliner. And it wasn't that Craig Counsell, he certainly doesn't lack emotion or intensity or any of those things. I just think he keeps it under the surface. He maintains his composure, and he is a flatliner, but because I think he's always thinking ahead. And you see that, the way that he uses Madrigal as a defensive replacement, you see that in the way that he is using his roster, and I think you'll continue to see that. It just feels like there's an advantage the Cubs have, or they feel like if there's going to be something that goes wrong, it's not going to be because of a managerial misstep. It just creates that confidence, which is so important when you go into a season with a team with as much talent as the Cubs have.
Look, he's never going to be Gilbert Gottfried at a party. That's not going to happen, okay? But I can tell you there is a fun, a little bit of devilish fun personality in this guy. He's not going to show that hand very often, because he keeps it straight and narrow. But he's a fun guy, and he will show that over a period of time here. He said yes 2 days ago. I asked him, is this a big series, coming up? And he goes, Bruce, they're all big series, So, he was downplaying the idea that this could be a big series in April against the Dodgers because it's the Dodgers. Can it be a litmus test for where his team's at, even though it's April? And he said, yeah, you want to play with them. But again, the next series after this on our road trip, that's going to be our next real big series.
So what he expected from Shota tomorrow on Sunday in the series finale at Wrigley, his second start at the friendly confines. We saw what happened on Monday. He owned it. He was a performer. And it was a great show, if you will.
Which way is the wind blowing? Tell me the weather conditions, and I will give you an answer, okay? That's my Wrigley Field answer for a fly ball pitcher.
Excuse me.
Pitching against the Dodgers with one of the great lineups in history, okay? If he's a fly ball pitcher and the wind's blowing in 15, he's going to be a much better variety of himself. If it's blowing out, mistakes are going to happen. He could give up 3 homers. I don't think he's going to get shaken no matter what the experience is.
First week impressions of Michael Busch, Bruce? First week of a guy who...
Yeah, I like him. Look, yeah. The team's winning, okay? So everything is washed away when the team wins, right? They've won all their games at home. It's It's just that way. Before we're done here, David, I just want to give a shout out to Mary Hellman and the family of Tom Hellman, the longtime clubhouse man and friend of mine for the Cubs for 45 years in Chicago, who passed away this winter. They're having a special day for him here, for him and his family. His kids are going to throw out the first pitch. They are going to have a tribute to him before the game, and I just wanted to send my very best to Tom's family and all the friends, hundreds of friends that Tom had in baseball throughout his illustrious career.
Great gesture by the Cubs. Condolences to his family, and great move by you, Bruce, in including that. And thank you for also getting our guest today, the great Steve Stone, and, of course, my new favorite pitcher on the Cubs, Ben Brown. Thank you very much, Bruce, and thanks for your contributions. We didn't argue too much today, but we still had a lot of fun.
People can follow me at Twitter, MLB, Bruce Levine, on our website, 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox. David, have a great week. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series.
Me too. Steve Rosenblum is next. Mullin Hall, Monday morning, 5:30. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.